ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल्ड द ऑपुलेंस ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट टेक्स्ट नंबर 19। श्री भगवान उवाच हन्तते कथयिष्यामि दिव्याह्यात्मविभूतयः प्राधान्यतः कुरु श्रेष्ठा नास्त्यन्तो विस्तरस्य मे। श्री भगवानुवाच हन्तते कथयिष्यामि दिव्याह्यात्मविभूतयः प्राधान्यतः कुरु श्रेष्ठा नास्त्यन्तो विस्तरस्य मे। श्री भगवानुवाच हन्तते कथयिष्यामि दिव्याह्यात्मविभूतयः प्राधान्यतः कुरु श्रेष्ठा नास्त्यन्तो विस्तरस्य मे। श्री भगवानुवाच हन्तते कथयिष्यामि दिव्याह्यात्मविभूतयः नास्त्यन्तो विस्तरस्य मे। श्री भगवानुवाच हन्तते कथयिष्यामि दिव्याह्यात्मविभूतयः प्राधान्यतः कुरु श्रेष्ठ नास्त्यन्तो विस्तरस्य मे। श्री भगवानुवाच हन्तते कथयिष्यामि दिव्याह्यात्मविभूतयः प्राधान्यतः कुरु श्रेष्ठ नास्त्यन्तो विस्तरस्य मे। माताजीस् श्री भगवान उवाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड हंत यस ते अंटू यू कथयिष्यामि आई शैल स्पीक दिव्याः डिवाइन ही सर्टनली आत्मविभूतयः पर्सनल ऑपुलेंसेस प्राधान्यतः विच आर प्रिंसिपल कुरुश्रेष्ठ ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द कुरुस न अस्ति देयर इज नॉट अंतः लिमिट विस्तरस्य टू द एक्सटेंट मे माय। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. Purport. It is not possible to comprehend the greatness of Krishna and his opulences. The senses of the individual soul are limited and do not permit him to understand the totality of Krishna's affairs. Still, the devotees try to understand Krishna, but not on the principle that they will be able to understand Krishna fully at any specific time or in any state of life. Rather, the very topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotees as nectar. Thus the devotees enjoy them. In discussing Krishna's opulences and his diverse energies, the pure devotees take transcendental pleasure. Therefore, they want to hear and discuss them. Krishna knows that living entities do not understand the extent of his opulences. He therefore agrees to state only the principal manifestations of his different energies. The word pradhanyataha, principal, is very important because we can understand only a few of the principal details of the Supreme Lord, for his features are unlimited. It is not possible to understand them all. And vibhuti, as used in this verse, refers to the opulences by which he controls the whole manifestation. In the Amar Kosh dictionary, it is stated that vibhuti indicates an exceptional opulence. The impersonalist or pantheist cannot understand the exceptional opulences of the Supreme Lord, nor the manifestations of his divine energies. Both in the material world and in the spiritual world, his energies are distributed in every variety of manifestation. Now Krishna is describing what can be directly perceived by the common man. Thus part of his variegated energy is described in this way.
Jnantimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajata, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Kalpataru Bhascha, Kripa Sundu Bevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, welcome to our everyday evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are reading the chapter 10, text number 19. I'll read the translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjun, for my opulence is limitless. In the world which we are in which we are living right now, each and every living being is in search of love, affection. The farmers are working in the fields, laborers in their factories, businessmen in their offices, engineers are working in different sites, lawyers working in the courts, fighting for judgment, doctors are working in the clinics, in the hospitals, housewives, they are working in their houses, and students are studying in their colleges, in their schools. Birds are chirping in their nests, animals are doing their activities. All of us are doing our work. Ultimately, to experience happiness, satisfaction, peace, joy, and love. Love is the thing for which everyone is aspiring in the world. Everyone has an innate need for love. Surrender unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is the only activity by which each and every living being can experience actual love, affection. What people say as love in this world is not actually love, but it is called as lust. One who acts in this world, it may be in any field, like we said before, farmers are working and businessmen are working. Any activity one may do. If one acts out of a selfish, greedy, egoistic desire to find enjoyment, that is called as lust. When one acts with a sincere desire to please and serve the Supreme Lord, who is the origin of everything that exists, that is love. Actually, everyone in this world is trying to satisfy one's own desires and is trying to satisfy one's own senses, basically, and trying to satisfy the senses of whom he considers as his own people. So this is called as self-centeredness or extended selfishness. So when one acts with a desire to enjoy life himself, no matter not caring for anyone else, not even one's own family men or one's own relatives, just egoistically going around enjoying it, trying to enjoy at every step of his life, that is called as self-centeredness or selfishness. And when one becomes a little more extended in his approach to enjoyment in his life, when one considers that this is my wife, this is my, these are my children, my son, my daughter, these are my parents, these are my relatives, these are my community people, Hindu society, society for Muslims, Catholic society. So when one tries to find enjoyment based on these considerations of those people who are my, trying to satisfy one's desires according to that conception, that is extended selfishness, because still I am the center, but little extended. But when one acts in this world just to please and serve the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the origin of all the creation, both material and spiritual, that is called as real love. That, only that love, which is obtained through selfless devotion service to the Supreme Lord, only that love can actually satisfy the hankering soul of any living entity in this world. So, there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is actually the root cause of all that exists. It says that just like by pouring water on the root of a tree, one satisfies or nourishes the branches and the leaves and the flowers and the twigs of that tree. And just by eating, putting food in the stomach, satisfying the hunger in the stomach, one actually nourishes all his bodily limbs, eyes, ears, hands, legs, everything gets energy. Similarly, just by satisfying or pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is infallible, who is Achyuta, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, just by satisfying Lord Vishnu, one automatically satisfies each and every living being in this world. One automatically satisfies all the demigods, all the sages, all the ancestors. One may ask the question that how is it so? Because if I say that, okay, I have one friend, my very close friend, since childhood we are studying together, we are playing together, we are almost judwa, like always together, he is so dear to me. If I only serve my friend and devote my whole time and energy to satisfying his desires, then how am I pleasing or satisfying the desires of my own family man or any other person in this world? Right? If I feed one person, his hunger is satisfied, but another person, his hunger is not satisfied. So how is it that by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, each and every living being can actually be satisfied? Each and every living being can actually find real happiness just by devotional service to Lord Krishna. How is it? So, it is explained in this verse as, because Lord Krishna is the origin of everything, all material world and the spiritual world emanate from Him. He is the proprietor, controller and maintainer of all living entities and all species of life. Because Lord Krishna is the Supreme Person, that's why when one renders devotional service unto Lord Krishna, one automatically satisfies each and every living being, because each and every living being is His part and parcel, are His own children. Just like one satisfies the root of the tree, everything is satisfied. One need not endeavor separately to find each and every person and each and every creature in this world and try to cater to his needs or his demands. This is the very easy way, and this is the very simple way of the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which the Vedic scriptures are prescribing for ultimate peace in this world and the ultimate satisfaction of all living beings by achieving or fulfilling one's innermost desire to obtain unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the senses of the individual soul, our senses, we have five knowledge acquiring senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. Through these senses we acquire knowledge or information about this world which we live in. So, The senses of the individual soul are limited and do not permit him to understand the totality of Krishna's affairs. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is himself is saying in this verse, that my opulence is limitless. One cannot actually fathom the extent of the greatness, of the power, of the splendor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is proposing that I can measure the power, the greatness of God, if one is thinking in this way, that means that he does not understand the conception of God. He does not understand what is God. If something is measurable, if something is understandable completely by our own brains, by our own tiny intelligence, then it is under our understanding. That means our intelligence has grasped that matter. Our intelligence is superior to that particular thing. It means we are in control. But for God, Hare Krishna, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Gopal Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra ki jai. For God to be actually God, He has to be limitless. He has to be inconceivable. Conceivable means one can understand Him through His own intelligence, through His own ability. Inconceivable means it is out of one's ability, out of one's reach to comprehend the limit, the extent of the glory of the Supreme Lord. So, the very concept of the Supreme Lord, it indicates inconceivableness. It indicates inconceivable opulences on the part of the Supreme Lord. Achintya, that which cannot be comprehended by our limited intelligence. And then Prabhupada is continuing in his purport that still the devotees try to understand Krishna, but very important, but not on the principle that they will be able to understand Krishna fully at any specific time or in any state of life. Devotees of Krishna, they are also endeavoring hard to understand Krishna, but not with the motive of knowing the totality of Krishna at any point of time or in any part of our life. Never. But Prabhupada is continuing, rather the very topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotees as nectar. Thus the devotees enjoy them. Devotees of Lord find great happiness, find great satisfaction, and find great love in actually describing and hearing the qualities, the glories, the name, the pastimes, the activities of the Supreme Lord. One may ask the question that why do the devotees actually find happiness or satisfaction or enjoyment or love in narrating about the Supreme Lord, in hearing about His activities? Why? One may ask that, see, I have my father, he is a very great person. Okay, not my father, let us consider the greatest person in this material world. One may consider anyone. For example, take the richest man in this world. Whoever is the richest man in this world, if one constantly narrates about him, one glorifies him, one does not actually fulfill the inner hankering of the soul and find real love, real satisfaction in his life. One cannot obtain that. So why is it that by describing and hearing about Lord Krishna's pastimes and activities, one finds love and happiness and joy and satisfaction in his life and loses all material desires, becomes equipoised? How is it? Because the people of this world, whatever opulence they may have, first of all, whatever opulences they have is a small spark, insignificant spark of Lord Krishna's opulences. They are not entitled, they are not the proprietor of what they are having in their life. They are bestowed with that particular opulence by the mercy of Krishna. And that particular person, he is himself going to die, and at one point of time all his opulences will be taken away from him. He will not be able to maintain them for an indefinite period of time. Everything is temporary in this world. Whatever person in this world we may try to approach, to serve, or to please, or to glorify, or to narrate, see, everyone in this world has the tendency to worship someone, to glorify someone, to hear about someone, to actually think about someone, to always meditate about something or someone. First of all, we must understand that we are attracted by Krishna's opulences, which are manifested in that personality. And above that, that particular personality is going to be finished one day, is going to be separated from us, is going to be separated from his opulences. At least at the time of death it will happen, for guarantee. So any person in this material world, he does not have the capacity to completely reciprocate with our desire to find actual love, actual fulfillment in life. By reposing our love, our affection in someone beautiful or someone very wealthy or someone very knowledgeable in this world or someone very famous or very strong and powerful in this world, reposing our love or affection in that personality, one's heart cannot and will not experience the ultimate satisfaction, ultimate reciprocation of love and affection and happiness in his life. Because that person himself is limited. Whatever person we are attracted to in this material world, because of his appearances, his or her opulences, that person is limited. His senses are limited, his mind is limited, his intelligence is limited. But our need for love in this world is unlimited. One is actually hankering in this world for unlimited happiness, unlimited love, unlimited enjoyment. And that unlimited enjoyment or love cannot be given by a limited personality of this world. So, one must understand that for actually experiencing unending, uninterrupted bliss and happiness and love in his life, one has to approach the personality who is unlimited, who has unlimited capacity to reciprocate with one's need of love. So let us try to discuss, just as Prabhupada says that by discussing the topics of Krishna, one finds real happiness. The topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotees as nectar. So let us try to discuss some of the topics of Lord Krishna. Let us try to understand some of his unlimited qualities and his unlimited glories. Lord Krishna is called as Bhagavan. God is called as Bhagavan. The word Bhaga means, see, anyone in this world who is very powerful, he is called as Balavan. Who is very wealthy, he is called as Dhanavan. So anyone in this world or above this world who is having this Bhaga is called as Bhagavan. So let us understand what is Bhaga. So this word bhaga is described by Srila Parashar Muni as yasharasa samagrasya viryasa yashasa shriya jnana vairagya yoshchaiva shannam bhaga itingana. That the word bhaga consists of six things: wealth, beauty, strength, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. So these six opulences constitute bhaga. So one who is possessing these six opulences to the unlimited extent, he is called as Bhagavan. He is called as Supreme Lord. So Lord Krishna, he has unlimited capacity to satisfy our desires for unlimited love and happiness. We are actually, as I said earlier, we are actually hankering for happiness, for love. And we are seeking that happiness in this world, in this temporary world, where we cannot find satisfaction because everything is temporary and it has limited capacity. It will be destroyed at one point of time. So Lord Krishna has unlimited opulences, and because of his unlimited opulences, he can satisfy our unlimited desires for happiness. The spiritual world is called as Chintamani, where every stone or every particle of dust or soil is called as Chintamani, which means that it is purpose yielding gem. Whatever desire or whatever purpose one has, that is instantly fulfilled. So Lord Krishna, by his unlimited beauty, he attracts the hearts of the conditioned souls toward him. Everyone in this world is trying to find or trying to find happiness through reciprocation with beauty in this world, to enjoy beauty in this world. But Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that dukhalayam ashashvatam, everything in this material world is dukhale. Every object in which we try to find happiness is a potential source of suffering. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? Dukha yone evate. Yehi samsparsh ja bhoga, dukha yone evate, adyanta vanta kaunteya, na tesho ramate buddha. In this material world, whatever sense objects through which we may try to find enjoyment is actually the source of misery, suffering, unhappiness. Dukha yoni, the source of dukha. Because it is adi antavanta. Everything in this world has a particular beginning and has a particular end. One may try to acquire money in this world, one may try to acquire a lot of influence in this world, a lot of control in this world, but at one point of time it has to be finished, it has to be taken away from us. And the time when it is taken away from us, that is the time when we experience the greatest suffering. The extent to which we are attached to finding enjoyment through any material object, any beautiful thing in this world, for our own selfish enjoyment, to that extent we will suffer when that thing is taken away from us. So one must try to understand that one must repose his propensity to find happiness, to find love in Krishna, who is unlimitedly beautiful. The description of Lord Krishna's beauty is filled in all the Vedic scriptures, mostly or more completely in Srimad Bhagavatam and Brahma Samhita and other Vaishnava literatures. So in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, who is the original creator after Lord Krishna in this world, who is appointed by Lord Krishna to be the spiritual master of this universe, he is saying that Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham, he is describing the glories of the beauty of Krishna. That Lord Krishna is so enchanting that he is playing on his flute. Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham. His eyes are so extraordinarily beautiful, just like the petals of a lotus flower. The lotus flower is considered to be the emblem of beauty in this world. Anything which is considered beautiful is given the designation of a lotus flower. But Lord Krishna, who is unlimitedly beautiful, he cannot be described by a thing of this material world. As we can understand from the Vedic scriptures, that Lord Krishna is spiritual. He has no material qualities. He is nirguna. He has spiritual qualities. He has spiritual form. But in order to understand the inconceivable nature of Lord Krishna's beauty, one uses the limited objects or the most glorious objects of this material world to compare with the beauty of Krishna. Actually, Lord Krishna's beauty is infinitely greater than the beauty of a lotus flower. Lord Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. But in order for people of this world like us to understand to some extent the beauty of Lord Krishna, his beauty is compared to the lotus flower, which is considered the most beautiful object of this world. So Lord Krishna's beauty is described, his eyes are described like a petals of a lotus flower. And Lord Krishna is playing on his flute. Velum Kanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham Barahavat. Barha means a peacock feather. Lord Krishna wears a peacock feather on his head. Asitambuda Sundarangam. All his limbs of his transcendental body, they are the complexion of a blackish monsoon rain cloud. Again, object of this material world is taken to describe the beauty of Lord Krishna. But Lord Krishna's beauty is infinitely more greater than the ordinary monsoon cloud of this world. But for us to understand, it is told in this way, so that you can at least to some extent understand. So Lord Krishna is, his complexion is like a monsoon rain cloud. Asitambuda Sundarangam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Visheha Shobham. And his beauty, his charming attractiveness, it also attracts the Kamadev, the Cupid, who is attracting all the populace of this world, every living entity in this world. Even the most powerful personality who has captured everyone by the attraction of opposite sex in this world, even that most powerful person who has this most powerful hold for each and every creature of this world, he cannot stand the beauty of Lord Krishna. He is helplessly attracted by his charm and his beauty. So Lord Krishna's beauty can charm not one, not two, not hundred, not thousand, but Kandarpa Koti crores and crores of such cupids. This is the unlimited nature of his beauty. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajame. Then Lord Brahma is saying that to such Lord Govinda, who is the Adi Purusha, who is the original personality of Godhead, to him I offer my respectful obeisances and I render devotional service unto his lotus feet. Because by rendering devotional service to Krishna, one can actually satisfy and explain the real pleasure he is hankering for life after life after life in this material world, going through hell, going through heaven, not finding the real of life. But when actually starts rendering devotional service to Supreme Lord Krishna, then only one can find real happiness, real enjoyment in life. So this is the unlimited nature of Lord Krishna's beauty. Lord Krishna's strength is immeasurable, as we have discussed. It cannot be measured. But just to attract the people of this world, Lord Krishna comes to this world to display all of his opulences so that we can become attracted towards him and can attain perfection of our life. Just for giving mercy to all the souls of this world, in the past, in the present and in the future, Lord Krishna comes to this material world and displays various pastimes and activities. So Lord Krishna's activities of defeating and killing powerful rakshasas and demons like Putana, like Trinavarta, Aghasur, Bakasur, like Jarasandha, all these demons and asuras, they are not ordinary people. They are unlimitedly powerful than we can imagine. So Lord Krishna actually defeated these demons and killed these demons to show that he is the most strong person in the world. We need not depend on the protection of our own strength, which is very, very limited. If some disease comes, 100 degree fever, one has to lie on bed. What one can do? Our strength is feeble, insignificant. One cannot rely on the strength of one's own family members. At the time of death or the time of calamity, no one, no matter how close one is to us, no one in this world can actually help us or protect us from any calamity in this world. Actually, the only protector, the only savior is Lord Krishna, who has unlimited strength. So, at one point of time, when Lord Krishna was present on this planet, in the place known as Vrindavan, which is in the present day Uttar Pradesh, south of Delhi. So when Lord Krishna was in Vrindavan, once what happened? That an unlimited all-devouring forest fire started in the area of Vrindavan. And all the cowherd friends of Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan, they were endangered by this forest fire. The flames of this fire was not like we see over here. They were like walls of flames. And the residents of Vrindavan were anticipating death, cruel death. So all of them, they approached Lord Krishna. And then Lord Krishna, what he did is that, although he was appearing like a small boy, wearing little dhoti and wearing peacock feather and having a flute in his hand, although he was appearing like a small boy, but he is so unlimited in his strength, in his power, inconceivably great in his power, that just by inhaling through his mouth once, like when one inhales, through one small inhalation through his mouth, Lord Krishna actually devoured the whole forest fire into his small little mouth, and he extinguished that fire. That fire didn't burn him. By his power, this fire, he consumed this fire and he extinguished this fire, which was actually consuming the whole area of Vrindavan. So this is the inconceivable power of Lord Krishna. If one tries to understand by logic and reasoning, by applying his tiny brain, that how it is possible that Krishna, he can actually swallow this big fire. How he can do that? How one should ask that, how he cannot do that? Why is it not possible for him to do that? Because God is inconceivable. One cannot understand him by one's own limited intelligence and power of reasoning. Krishna is always greater than our intellect, one must always remember. Always remember that. When Hiranyakashipu was performing severe austerities, he asked many, many benedictions from Brahmaji. I cannot be killed on land, on air, in the water, or by fire, or by any living entity that you have created, O Brahmaji. I cannot be killed by any weapon, by any astra, any shastra. But Lord Krishna, he came as Lord Narasimhadev, showing that he is more intelligent than Hiranyakashipu. Always, Lord Krishna is unlimitedly more intelligent than any living being in this world. So Lord Krishna is inconceivable. His power is inconceivable. His opulences are inconceivable. So one has to accept this inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord. And once one accepts this inconceivable nature of Lord Krishna, then one can actually render devotional service to Lord Krishna. Unless we don't understand, this was the point in the last class when I was speaking over here, when we don't understand the true greatness of the Supreme Lord, one cannot actually render devotional service to the Supreme Lord, because one does not have that dependence on the Supreme Lord. One cannot surrender unto the Supreme Lord if one does not know the greatness of the Supreme Lord. So when one accepts the inconceivable power of the Supreme Lord, one will depend on Krishna for protection. Krishna is unlimitedly powerful, and his ability to give protection is also unlimited. See, a person may be very powerful, but he may be situated in America and we are in India. When some trouble comes, how will he come to our help? But Krishna is not limited. Although he is unlimitedly powerful, he can give his protection through any at any point of time without any limitations. This is the wonderful nature of Krishna. He is inconceivable. The best example is of what we are reading right now in the morning Srimad Bhagavatam of Gajendra. This Gajendra was caught by a massive crocodile in a lake when he was swimming and having fun in the water of that lake. And although Gajendra was very, very strong, he was actually the king of the whole forest. This crocodile, because he was powerful, and also because this crocodile was situated in the water, he is an animal of the water and Gajendra is an animal of the land. He had advantage over Gajendra, and slowly, slowly Gajendra's strength was reducing. He understood that I cannot protect myself now. My family members were standing on the shore of this lake. They cannot protect me. They are standing helplessly. They are crying. At the point of death, what happens to a person? He is lying on his deathbed. His relatives come and they cry. But that is the only help they can give. Just cry and apologize. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is so great and so merciful to us that by our sincere calling unto him, by our sincere dependence on him, he at once reciprocates. And when Gajendra realized that everything is beyond my control, then he actually surrendered unto the Supreme Lord and he offered his life to the Supreme Lord by offering a lotus flower. And although the Supreme Lord is situated in his spiritual planet of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he came from Vaikuntha to this material world on his carrier Garuda, just to protect Gajendra, just to save his life. And not only save his life, give him eternal life where he can live blissfully for all time to come. Who guarantees that sort of protection in this world? One may consider that he will protect me, LIC company will protect me by giving money. What is the use of that money? It will only come to the family after I am dead. It cannot help me actually. So this is the trick of the illusory energy of Krishna. One must take shelter of Krishna, because he not only can save us from the calamities of this world, he can actually save us from the ultimate suffering of this world, of birth and death again and again, taking birth and dying again and again in various species of life in this world. Lord Krishna can liberate us from this tremendously miserable cycle of this world, and he can promote us, he can lift us, he can give us eternal shelter, eternal happiness, eternal joy by giving us entrance into the spiritual planet where there is no death, no suffering, but only eternal joy, nectarian life by experiencing eternal love in the devotional service, pure devotional service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada's words we can read over here is that Krishna is describing, now onwards Krishna will describe his opulences so that a common ordinary person of this world can actually start appreciating his greatness in this world. So he will start describing that amongst this I am this, like he is describing that I am the most powerful of this category of people, of the Vedas I am the Samveda, of the mantras I am Oma, of the sacrifices I am chanting the holy names. So Lord Krishna is describing that whatever extraordinary thing, whatever supernatural or excellent thing we see in this world with our own experience, that thing or that person has actually got this opulence by the mercy of Krishna. It is due to the blessing of Krishna. So in this way one can see the Supreme Lord Krishna even while living in this world. So I would like to end here. If anyone has any questions, and they can raise their hands and they can ask questions. Anyone has any questions or doubts? Thank you very much for kind and patient hearing. Please forgive me for my mistakes and shortcomings. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.